Welcome to the Daily Tour Podcast, brought to you by the Fredcast. This almost daily summary of the 2008 Tour de France will be presented soon after the end of each day's racing, so that you can stay up to date on the world's most famous, and some would argue, most important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, for weekly news, product reviews, upcoming events, and everything you need to know about the world of cycling. Listen to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. The Fredcast can be found at www.thefredcast.com, iTunes, or anywhere you normally look for podcasts. For over 2 years and 100 episodes, the Fredcast is the internet's premier cycling podcast. The Daily Tour is also brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you for your donations via PayPal, and if you'd like to donate, please visit our website at www.thefredcast.com. And now, it's time for the Tour de France 2008 edition of the Daily Tour Podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's David Bernstein from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Thanks for staying with us. And one thing you'll probably notice is that today's show is coming to you extremely late. I like to get these out just a couple of hours after the day's stage concludes, or at least by dinner time in most parts, at least of the United States. And I have to be completely honest with you, I have not been looking forward to doing tonight's podcast. And the reason for that, well, two words: Ricardo Rico. Now, you will remember that Ricardo Rico won two stages of this year's Tour de France already this year, including a humongous burst of speed on the ascent of the Category 1 Col d'Aspin earlier in the weekend. And I, you know, as you'll remember, I wasn't around for the Daily Tour podcast or my usual Twitter updates. I was off on a family adventure. And when I got back, the first question a friend of mine asked me was, who is this Ricardo Rico? And how is it that he was able to fly up that hill and pull so far away from the rest of the peloton, eventually winning that stage with a 1-minute, 4-second gap over second-place finisher that day, Vladimir Efimkin? Well, if you believe the news reports and the allegations, one simple reason for Ricardo Rico's dominance of that stage is EPO. That's right, the blood-doping medication EPO that gives you more red blood cells, therefore bringing more oxygen to your tired and aching muscles. It is alleged that Rico failed a drug test, and as a result, not only did he not start today, not only did he leave his hotel room to questions from reporters, which of course he didn't answer, and boos from fans in France, his Saunier Duval Scott team, the entire team, has now pulled out of this year's Tour de France. And I saw an interview earlier today with the director sportif for Saunier Duval. And I have to be honest with you, the explanation that he gave for the reason why their team pulled out of the Tour de France, well, I think it leaves more questions than it answers, because in a nutshell, he basically said, the Tour de France is the most popular cycling race in the world. It deserves respect. And although the rest of the team is not currently suspected for doping, we believe that we should depart the Tour de France in order to give it the respect it deserves. My opinion on that, and again, this is opinion only and clear conjecture, but my opinion is, I think that that really begs the question. Because let's face it, professional cycling, like any professional sport, is a business. Could you imagine if some NFL team had a linebacker that was accused of using steroids, and it was perhaps as a result of a doping test, if such a thing existed in the National Football League? Could you imagine that entire team pulling out for the season? No way. The owners, the fans, the sponsors of the stadium and of the TV coverage, they would be up in arms. So for Saunier Duval, for the entire team to pull out as a result of Ricardo Rico's alleged doping, It really has me wondering. Now, there could be a number of good explanations for it. One, it could be exactly like the team spokesman mentioned today. It simply could be out of respect for professional cycling and the Tour de France. Personally, I don't buy it. It could be that maybe there are other allegations, or perhaps maybe there are things that the team knows that they're not saying. It also could be that Sonier Duval, the sponsors themselves, felt that they had been sufficiently embarrassed enough that they did not want their name associated with the team any longer. Maybe over the next days, weeks, and months, we may find out the answer. But the bottom line is, today was not a good day for the Tour de France. We now have three riders who are out. All three of them, now, obviously, besides those who are out for injuries and sickness and other reasons, but we now have three riders who are out as a result of doping allegations and purported positive tests for EPO. Now, Rico is accused, or at least it's alleged, of not just using EPO, but a third generation version of EPO called CERA, C-E-R-A. Now, perhaps these riders think that the testing isn't accurate enough to catch them if they're using EPO. There are also plenty of stories online that say that the EPO tests that do exist are not really accurate enough and that they may be catching people who aren't actually using the drug. But based on news reports, and based on the fact that the entire team has now pulled out, I'm not saying that that's an admission, because certainly French prosecutors are saying that when they interviewed Rico, he denied the use of doping products. Nevertheless, today was not a good day in the Tour de France, and you could hear it in the voices of the commentators. The voices of the commentators on Versus here in the United States, Phil and Paul, Bob Roll. You could really hear it in the voices of David Harmon and Sean Kelly on Eurosport. They spent a good amount of today's stage talking about the allegations, talking about the effect that it has on professional cycling and on the fans and on the sponsors and on the teams, on the legitimacy of professional cycling, and also on the psyche, not only of the fans and the sponsors, but also on their own psyche. They're very depressed and dejected. That was really the tone of today's coverage, and hence the reason why I, too, was a bit hesitant to do today's podcast. This news is not good. In some ways, as Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. A lot of folks that I talked to today, it reminded them of last year's Tour de France. It reminded them of years ago of the Festina scandal in the Tour de France. We had hoped that the dark days of doping clouding the world of professional cycling were over. You could see it in the advertisements on Versus and on the attitudes of the teams, like Garmin Chipotle and Jonathan Vaughter's strong stance against doping. Unfortunately, it is still here. But on the bright side, perhaps we are catching the dopers, and that will have a positive effect on the rest of the peloton. Sorry to bring the bad news. Sorry to bring it to you late. Now let's talk a little bit about the cycling that did occur out there on the road today. Actually, one more thing we do need to talk about. I always like to bring you the previous day's standings before we talk about the day's stage that occurred. However, there are a couple of things you need to consider. While going into today's stage, Cadel Evans is still in the yellow jersey in first place, and Frank Schleck is right behind him in second place, still 1 second behind. Christian Vandevelde is in third, 38 seconds back. Bernhard Kohl is in fourth, 46 seconds. 57 seconds back is Denis Menshov in fifth place. In sixth, it's Carlos Sastre from CSC Saxobank, 1 minute, 28 seconds back. In seventh, Kim Kirkin from Team Columbia, 1 minute, 56 seconds back. But here's where the speed bump occurs. In eighth place from Sonier Duval-Scott, Juan José Cobo Acebo, he's out of the Tour de France. In ninth place, Ricardo Rico from Sonier Duval-Scott, also out of the Tour de France. So that bears knowing as we go into today's stage. Now, some of you who have been really astute are also thinking, well, isn't Ricardo Rico the owner of a couple of jerseys? And you're absolutely right. Ricardo Rico, prior to today, was wearing the King of the Mountains polka dot jersey with 77 points. So then, great. Second place rider, he gets the polka dot jersey. Not so fast. David De La Fuente from Sonier Duval-Scott was in second place with 65 points. That means the current leader in King of the Mountains points going into today's stage, former number three in KOM points, Sebastian Lang from Team Gerolsteiner with 57 points. But wait, what's that other jersey that Ricardo Rico was wearing? Well, the white jersey is the best young rider. In second place behind him, Vincenzo Nibali, thankfully not from Sonier Duval Scott. He's from Team Liquigas, and he, going into today's stage, would be the white jersey wearer. However, as is traditional, neither Vincenzo Nibali nor Sebastian Lang wore their respective jerseys going into today's stage. Okay, briefly, let's talk about what today's stage from La Vélanée to Narbonne looks like. It's 168.5 kilometers. There are a couple of bumps in the road. Along the way, at 57.5 kilometers, they will hit the Col du Compère. It's a Category 4 climb. From there, there is a sprint at the 76-kilometer mark, followed by the feed zone, and then a sprint at the 142.5-kilometer mark, before a little bump in the road, and then basically a downhill finish, 168.5 kilometers into Narbonne. Today's stage and the next couple of stages along the way are what's known as transitional stages, as the Tour de France makes its way out of the Pyrenees and into the High Alps. As predicted, today's stage really seemed like a recovery ride for a lot of the riders in the peloton. However, two riders did attack the peloton at about 35 kilometers into the race. That was Samuel Demoulin from Team Cofidis and Arnaud Gérard from Française du Jeu. And they stayed away for quite a long time today in the day stage, never getting too far away from the peloton. It seemed clear that, as predicted in last night's podcast, that this really would come down to a sprint finish for some of the best sprinters in this year's Tour de France. Along the way in today's stage, there was one attack of the peloton between the break and the peloton, and that was Oscar Freire, who attacked the peloton in order to gain a couple of extra points as they went through one of the sprints. Remember that going into today's stage, Oscar Freire was wearing the green points jersey, and so capturing extra points will help him defend his ownership of that jersey. Well, Freire was soon swallowed up by the peloton, and the break was joined by Juan José Oroz from the Euskaltel team. Nevertheless, even though Oroz was able to join with the breakaway riders, they were eventually reeled in, as seemed was bound to happen. The catch being made at just under 9 kilometers to go in today's stage. And then the charging peloton, as one group, made their way all the way to just beyond Le Flamme Rouge, the 1 kilometer to go banner, with Milram and Team Colombia leading the peloton at that point. And then it seemed clear that a sprint finish was coming. All the big names were there. Freire, Zabel, Husov, Cavendish, Chavanel, Stegmans, all of them were there. But in the end, today's victory by the man who is holding up three fingers at the line, signifying his three stage wins in this year's Tour de France, Mark Cavendish from Team Colombia. So at the end of the day, the stage results are these. In first place, once again, Mark Cavendish from Great Britain with his third stage win of this year's Tour de France. Covered the distance in 3 hours, 40 minutes, and 52 seconds. In second place, Sébastien Chavanel from Française du Jeu. The same time was credited to him as to Cavendish, as was all the top 10 in today's stage. In third, Geert Stegmans from Quickstep. In fourth, Eric Zabel from Milram. In fifth, from Rabobank, Oscar Freire. In sixth, Francesco Cicci from Liquigas. In seventh, the God of Thunder himself, Tor Husov from Norway and Crédit Agricole. In eighth place, Leonardo Duque from Team Cofidis. In ninth, it's Julian Dean from Garmin-Chipotle. And in tenth, Heinrich Hausler from Germany and Team Gerolsteiner. The yellow jersey finishing safely with the peloton today, retaining the yellow jersey and his 1 second lead over Frank Schleck, Cadel Evans from Ceylon Slotto. He's got a total time on this year's tour of 50 hours, 23 minutes, and 5 seconds. Again, Frank Schleck in second place, 1 second back. In third place from the United States in Team Garmin Chipotle, 38 seconds behind Cadell Evans, Christian Vandevelde. In fourth, Bernhard Kohl from Team Gerolsteiner, he's 46 seconds back. In fifth, Dennis Menshov from Team Rabobank, 57 seconds back. 1 minute, 28 seconds back from Team CSC Saxobank. In sixth place, it's Carlos Sastre. In seventh, Kim Kirkin from Team Columbia, 1 minute, 56 seconds back. And now in eighth, Vladimir Efimkin from AG2R, 2 minutes, 32 seconds behind Cadell Evans. In ninth, Mikel Astorloza from Euskaltel, 3 minutes, 51 seconds back. And rounding out your top 10, Vincenzo Nibali from Team Liquigas, 4 minutes, 18 seconds behind our race leader, Cadell Evans. Now into the top 10, Vincenzo Nibali is also our white jersey wearer. In the green jersey, Oscar Freire from Team Rabobank, 162 points. And in the polka dot jersey from Team Gerolsteiner, Sebastian Lang with 58 King of the Mountains points. Well, tomorrow is stage 13 of this 2008 Tour de France. It goes from Narbonne to Nîmes, sort of skirting the Mediterranean coast as it goes. And once again, this will be a day for the sprinters. Looking at the race profile tomorrow, there are three Category 4 climbs. Not much for these riders to deal with, really mostly a rolling course most of the way. Of course, along the way, there are two intermediate sprints, and those are occurring relatively late in tomorrow's stage. The first at 139.5 kilometers, and the second at 155.5 kilometers out of tomorrow's 182-kilometer stage. The last 5 kilometers in Nîmes to the finish, flat as a board. No doubt that this will be yet another day for the big sprinters, the big name sprinters in the Tour de France. Let's hope that tomorrow brings us a day of good weather and good news. We'll see you all tomorrow on another edition of the Daily Tour Podcast. So long for now. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com. That's thefredcast@gmail.com. Or you can send a voicemail to area code 435-258-6373. That's 435-258-6FRED. Be sure to follow our frequent live updates of the day's racing via Twitter. The Twitter username is DailyTour. Remember, there's no space. And you can sign up for those at twitter.com/DailyTour or by sending a text message to 40404 with the words follow Daily Tour. And of course, please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com for the final results of the day's racing and, of course, for the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. I will see you all again on the next episode of the Daily Tour or the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Please don't forget to tell your friends about the show. We love to get new listeners. And in the meantime, thank you for listening to the Daily Tour Podcast.